It seems that playing ball was already something that was in style in the 1500s. It was something that was heavily debated already then. And it's something that has remained an exciting activity for us 500 years later or more. So that's very interesting to me. And let us begin by understanding exactly what the issues, potential issues involved are, and then we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch itself. Issue number one that we need to be aware of, with a lot of the discussion that we have when it comes to how one is supposed to behave on Shabbos or not. When we're talking about the laws of Muktzah, which we have been learning, so then it's very defined. Again, a lot of it is hard to figure out what belongs in which category and exactly the permutations, but it's pretty much a clearly defined issue. There are certain activities on Shabbos which really are not so clearly defined. We don't really know what's wrong with it. So sometimes you'll hear somebody say, it's just not Shabbos-tic. It's not the way we behave on Shabbos. What category is that? What does that mean? It's not Shabbos-tic. And who determines what is within the spirit of Shabbos and what is not? That's really a very difficult question to answer, and I think it plays very much into this discussion that we're going to have tonight with regard to playing ball on Shabbos. So issue number one that we need to think about is something that the Gemara refers to as uvdin dechol. What exactly is uvdin dechol? Uvdin dechol means I'm doing an activity which is not Shabbos-tic. It's a weekday activity. What's a practical example of uvdin dechol? That is a good question, and the Gemara discusses a number of possibilities that would fall under this category of uvdin dechol, most of which are not relevant to our society today, most of which never come up in our lives and our Shabbos experience, but just to give us a frame of mind what the Gemara considers to be uvdin dechol. So for example, the Gemara says in Maseches Beitzah daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, imagine a person has a lot of company, and therefore, when the company comes to my home, I like to serve them wine. But I'm not just having one or two guests or one family over. I'm having a big party. I'm having some big sheva brachas, and I need to have cases and cases of wine in order to keep everybody happy. So what do? Well, I happen to be lucky that I have a big wine cellar in my house, and I have boxes and cases of wine there because I knew that I was making a simcha, so I saved up, and I knew that this was going to come in handy. Now it comes Shabbos, so the Gemara says when I'm transferring that wine from the wine cellar to the table or to wherever the auditorium is that everybody's eating, lo yaviam, I'm not allowed to bring all of them bisal uvukupa. I cannot take a case of wine and carry it from that area where I store it to the place by the table. What's the problem? What's the malacha? There's no malacha. There's an eruv. It's inside of my house. What's the problem? So the Gemara says the issue is, it looks like the way I would behave during the weekday. Normally, when I have a customer comes into the store and he wants to buy wine, I sell him one case, I bring out another case. That's not Shabbos-tic. The Gemara says when you're coming on Shabbos and you want to serve wine, you take out one bottle at a time. You don't take a whole case at a time. That's one example the Gemara gives. Another example the Gemara gives is, if I have to move things, a molich teven, I have to put some hay from one place to another location, the Gemara says, I'm not allowed to put it in a sack and hold it over my back, because that would be considered uvdin dechol. That's the way we do something during the week. Similarly, the Gemara says, what happens if I have a big farm, and I have a lot of fruits and vegetables grow on that farm, and now I have a big bundle of apples, and it happens to be nispazrulo haperos. All of the fruits, for some reason, the bag unravels, or the tie on the top of it, and now there are apples all over the backyard. So I have to clean them up. So the Gemara says there, to do that, that would be okay to clean it up. However, I'm not allowed to do it the way that I normally would do it during the week. What's the normal way to do it during the week? I put all the apples back in the bag, and I bring the bag back to where it belongs. The Gemara says to do that would be uvdin dechol. So really, I have to go and take a lot more time, and take one apple at a time, and bring it back into the house. Those are just some examples off the top of our heads that the Gemara gives for uvdin dechol. Those are not all mentioned in one location, they're in different places. Now, how do you put those together? What is the connection between all those two? Is not really very clear. And how do you then translate that into modern day application? That is the problem that many, many of the contemporary Svarim have, figuring out what is uvdin dechol and what's not uvdin dechol, what is Shabbos-tic, what's not Shabbos-tic. So the Rambam already gives us what he believes is the guideline. Not everyone agrees to this Rambam's definition, but the Rambam gives us the guideline. Let's look together here. Again, this is totally off script from a regular discussion, but here the Rambam says, I think it's important just to get an understanding of the background. The Rambam says, how do you define what is considered uvda d'chol? What is considered not Shabbos stick? So obviously if I do a malacha, that's not Shabbos stick. You're not allowed to do a malacha. But if I do something beyond a malacha, and it's a gray area, how do I define what's a problem and what's not? Writes the Rambam. V'lo amrinon b'chihani shelo yasa kiderach shehu osa b'chol. The only time that we say there's a problem of uvdin the chol, and when I'm doing an activity, it's something that should not be done on Shabbos, it's only im kein lo yochal kiderach shehu ocha b'chol v'lo yasev kiderach shehu mesa b'chol zed davar baruhu lemeivin. What are you going to tell somebody? If during the week I sit on a dining room chair, so on Shabbos you're not allowed to sit on the dining room chair, that's uvdin the chol. That's the way I would. If during the week I wear shoes, so on Shabbos I have to wear slippers. It doesn't make sense, says the Rambam. You can't apply this to everything. What are you going to say? There's no guideline to really explain to us what is considered uvdin the chol. It doesn't just mean anything I do during the week is prohibited on Shabbos. That can't be. So the Rambam says, what is the bottom line? The bottom line is, Eina tamotzi la'olam dvarim she'asru chachamim mishum shelo yaseh kederach shehu osa b'chol. Writes the Rambam, the only thing that is not permissible to do on Shabbos because it's uvdin nechol is something dvarim she'efshur she'argilo l'malacha. So here the Rambam defines clearly for us what is uvdin nechol. It's any activity that during the normal course of events during the week may lead you to do a malacha. So the Rambam says, how does it normally work? When I have a big bundle of apples and I happen to be a farmer, and now I normally take them and I sell them in the supermarket, I sell them out wherever I go to sell my wares. So now if I'm going to go and do the same way I would do it during the week, that might lead me to do a malacha. And the same goes with somebody who has cases of wine. Normally when I sell cases of wine, I bring them out by the case and I sell them to the customer. Now I happen to have a big Sheva Brachas, a big wedding, or whatever it is, and now I want to take it out. And I want to serve it to all the people who are assembled here. Problem is, that's uvdin nechol. Why is it uvdin nechol? Because normally the next step during the week would be that I would sell it to a customer. And therefore we don't want you to go that extra step. And the safeguard to that is uvdin nechol. So now, that's the Rambam's definition. Again, not all the Rishonim agree, but that's at least an interesting way to consider what are the parameters of uvdin nechol. So now, we get into our discussion here. And we begin with the Shulchan Aruch in Si'if Mem Hei. Again, Simon Shin Ches, Si'if Mem Hei. The problem with beginning like this is that we don't see how the Rishonim themselves presented it. The Shulchan Aruch is not the beginning of the story. This is the Shulchan Aruch quoting earlier Rishonim. And here, I don't know if we have any Svardim. Again, here in the room we don't have any Svardim, but maybe on Zoom we have a couple of Svardim. This is a very sticky point between Ashkenazim and Svardim. How do we deal with ball playing on Shabbos? That is a major, major issue. So let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Writes the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Ches, Si'if Mem Hei, Aser Lischok B'Shabbos V'Yamtiv B'Kadur. Pretty clear. Writes the Shulchan Aruch very clearly, one is not allowed to play with a ball on Shabbos. Now, if you had to guess, what is the problem? What's the prohibition? What do you say? Well, after all, it finds itself in Simen Shin Ches. So what is the problem? Muktzah. Well, why? One second. Why is a ball muktzah? What's the problem with that? Carrying. Oh, no. One second. If it's about carrying, it should be somewhere else. It should be in Hilchos Shabbos where it talks about carrying. But that's not what it says here. Over here, we're discussing the laws of muktzah, and yet somehow this halacha crept its way into Hilchos muktzah. Writes the Mishnah Berura that what the Shulchan Aruch here means is, again, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting earlier Rishonim who say that you're not allowed to use a ball on Shabbos because it is muktzah. And even though, explains the Mishnah Berura, even though we know that if I set aside Eitzim Va'avanim V'yafar before Shabbos, if I set aside stones before Shabbos, I'm allowed to use them because now they are designated to be used on Shabbos and that's no longer muktzah. Similarly, I should have said the same should apply to a ball. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, no. Why? Because setting it aside just to play games? That's not called a good enough reason to set something aside. If I set something aside because I really need it, so then it takes it out of the category of muktzah and it now puts it into the category of something that's permissible on Shabbos. But if I'm setting it aside just to play a game with it, that's not a sufficient reason, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, a ball is muktzah on Shabbos. Not only that, Shulchan Aruch is quoting earlier Rishonim who say a secondary concern, and that is the bowl is going to get dirty right away when it rolls into the mud, and then it's going to have no purpose at all. And it turns out that it's not designated for Shabbos at all because you can't use it for a full Shabbos. You're going to get your Shabbos clothing all dirty. So this is a very interesting psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which is why the Ramah immediately pounces on the Mechaber and he says it's not true. Writes the Ramah, the Yesh Matirim. One said, don't just present this as if it's an open shut case. That is not true, says the Ramah. Also, Lishok B'Shabbos V'yam Tebekadur is not so simple. Writes the Ramah, Yesh Matirim. There are those who allow it. V'Nagula Hakel, and our practice based on Tosis and Maseches Beitza is that we allow people to use a ball on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are obviously two very critical caveats that we need to be aware of when we, Ashkenazim, follow this Ramah. Again, the Ramah says you're allowed to play ball, it's not muksa. Mechaber says a ball is muksa. Says the Ramah, although it's allowed, that is only with two conditions. Number one, there has to be a situation where there's no issue of hotzah. That's what somebody mentioned here before. Obviously, it means either we're in an enclosed backyard, or we're talking about in a city or a community where there's an Eruv, or we're talking about inside of somebody's house. Whatever it might be, that is obviously a precondition that has to exist before we get into the whole topic in the first place. Because if there's an issue of Hotzah, then forget about Muktzah, which is only Midirabbanan, you then have the Yisur Daraisa of Hotzah. So obviously the Ramah only says this is allowed if we get Hotzah out of the way. And number two, the Ramah only says this is allowed if you're doing it in a place that is not a dirt floor. But if I'm going to be playing ball where there's a dirt floor, it might turn out that I'm going to, as we're kicking a soccer ball around, I'm going to shuffle around the dirt, and it's going to smooth out the surface or whatever it might be. Rashi Maseches Shabbos writes that that would be considered a malach of choresh. So that would be something that also is a very important precondition before somebody plays ball. Number one, there has to be an Eruv. Number two, the Ramah would say it has to be a floor that is, I guess, made from blacktop. It has to be a floor that is not made from dirt, because then you have to be concerned that maybe the person is going to smooth it out. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, although we need to follow both of these qualifications, number one, there has to be an Eruv. Number two, it has to be a situation where the floor is not made from dirt. Mishnah Berurah says, if you pass by a bunch of kids who are playing soccer on the field, and they're kicking around the dirt, and inevitably they're obviously going to end up smoothing it out, writes the Mishnah Berurah, mutav sheyushogegin ve'alyu mezidin. It's, you don't always have to jump in and give mussar, you don't always have to stop everybody and tell them how wrong they are. Let the kids play, let the people do what they want, and just leave it alone. Now, what kind of concept is that? What does that mean? So I see somebody being mechal Shabbos, I see somebody on Shabbos, walks in, turns on the lights, doesn't even realize, doesn't even think about it. So before they walk out of the room, I shouldn't say anything. I should say, yeah, don't, it's fine, okay. He turned on the lights. He turns off the lights. What's the issue? I see somebody eating on Yom Kippur. Yeah, don't get involved. That's okay. Mutav sheyushogegin. Okay, he doesn't know. It's fine. That's not the halacha. That's not what we say. So what is that all about? So that's a very interesting concept. So the Gemara talks about this. On the one hand, the pasuk says, Hocheach tochiach hasamisecha. The Gemara says we have a mitzvah of tochacha, which means we have to point out when somebody's doing something that they shouldn't be doing. We have to try to help them. Again, we're not trying to embarrass them. We're trying to help them by encouraging them and educating them about what the mitzvahs HaTorah expect of them. So, hocheach tochiach hasamisecha means you should respectfully tell somebody when they're making a mistake, when they're doing something wrong. Okay. In fact, the Gemara even says in Maseches Shavuos that if somebody does something wrong and I don't say anything and I don't try to educate them, I bear some responsibility for what they're doing wrong. Because as a caring friend, as a responsible Jew, I should feel that I have a connection to them, and I should feel that it's part of my responsibility to make sure that they are educated and they are following the rules as best as they can. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the Gemara says, we have a number of situations where the Gemara tells us that there are situations where I have a right to say, take a step back and don't get involved. For example, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to, mechias kapayim on Shabbos is not permissible. A certain kind of clapping is not allowed. I don't know exactly what it is, but some kind of clapping is not allowed. That's a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, kuf mem ches. So the Gemara says, you go to every community, you see people are clapping on Shabbos. So how come nobody says anything? Everybody lets it go. Nobody says anything. Why not? So maybe you'll say some of the people are simply unaware of the problem. But there must be some people who are aware of the issue, so how come they don't speak up? So Rava says, yeah, mutav shishogin val yumezidin. It's better not to tell the people, because if you tell them and then they end up not listening to you, then they're going to violate an aver b'mezid. But if you don't tell them, then they're only violating b'shogeg. They're not aware that this is a problem on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. Now, so one second. So, no, number one, how far do you take that? So again, the example that we said, you see somebody eating on Yom Kippur, so we don't say anything. Of course we say something. So, the Mordechai writes that the understanding, the Mordechai in the back of the Gemara writes that the understanding of this halacha is, kishem shemitzvah lomar davar hanishma, the same way I have a mitzvah of hocheach tochiach, when I think people are going to accept what I say, so too he writes, kach, mitzvah shalolo mardava sheinu nishma. You don't always have to make a comment. If people are not going to listen to you and people won't accept what you're saying, you don't always have to, on principle, say something. It's not always the right answer. Rachel d'archei noyam sometimes is more important, and therefore the Mordechai says, sometimes is a mitzvah to keep quiet. And that's what the Mordechai applies to this principle here, and he says, that's why the Gemara tells us, in certain situations, mutav shiyushogigin, there are certain times when we say, let's all turn a blind eye, let people just continue to be the way they are, and like you correctly said, we're talking about a situation where we have determined that these people won't change their ways, meaning it's something that's so much a part of who they are, they're just not going to listen to me either because I don't have enough to encourage them, or because they're not the kind of people that care enough. And therefore we assume in such a case, we would let it be. What? Oh, so one second. So how far do we take it? So the Rama writes, surprisingly, in Siman Taf Reish Ches. What's Taf Reish Ches? Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. So what's this doing in Hilchos Yom Kippur? So there, the Rama is quoting, it's actually Gemara Maseches Beitza. The Rama is quoting Gemara Maseches Beitza that says that there are many people, we have a din of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. You know that the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos doesn't even write the halach of Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam doesn't believe in Tosefes Shabbos. Shabbos starts at Shkiah, Shabbos ends after Shabbos is over. What's Tosefes all about? There is one place where the Rambam writes about Tosefes, and that is by Yom Kippur. Because that's learned from a pasuk. The pasuk says that we darshan from a pasuk that you have to have Tosefes onto Yom Kippur. It's not good enough to fast from Shkiah to Shkiah. You have to have a little bit added on to Yom Kippur itself. It's not good enough just to do the strict 24 hours of Yom Kippur. So says the Ramah, quoting the Gemara, why is it that there are so many people who sit and eat and drink till the moment before it's Shkia, and they're having their Suda, and they're benching, and whatever, and they're not careful about Tosefes Yom Kippur? Isn't that learned from a pasuk? How come the rabbi doesn't go around knocking on the doors? It's time for shul, stop eating. Why doesn't he have to do that? Isn't that part of the mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach? Says the Rama, quoting the Gemara, no. Mutav shiyushogi in value mezid. Oh, so here, you see, we're already expanding this to a din d'araisa. That's a chiddush. So how far do you take it? So now the rabbi comes to shul, and he sees the guy's pulling some wafers out of his pocket, and he sees he has cookies that he's eating in the middle of davening, so he should say, okay, the same way I didn't have to stop him before he went and violated Tosefes Yom Kippur, I don't have to stop him from eating on Yom Kippur either. Obviously not. What's the difference? So the Rama explains the answer is, when we're talking about a mefurish, it's amazing what the Rama assumed every simple Jew knows. There's no excuse, says the Rama, for a Jew not to know a pasuk in Chumash. There's no way you don't know that. If the Torah says don't eat on Yom Kippur, it means the Jew knows not to eat on Yom Kippur. So I have an obligation to tell him, stop eating on Yom Kippur. Because I don't have the right to assume mutav shiyushogin v'alyum ezid, and he's not a shogeg. Everybody knows the halacha that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. There's no excuse. And therefore says the Rama, if I see somebody eating on Yom Kippur, you have to stop him right away. But when it comes to something that I darshan from a pasuk, so how many people learn the Gemara Maseches Beitza that tells us, oh, there's a din, we darshan from an extra word in the pasuk that it means you have to also have Tosefes Yom Kippur. Most people don't pay attention. Most people before Daf Yomi never learned that Gemara. They're never going to see it. So they don't know. So somebody in the town knows, but not everybody knows. In a case like that, I have to make an assessment. By telling this person, are they going to change their behavior or not? If they're not going to change their behavior, either because they don't care for what I have to say or because whatever it might be, because they're not the kind of people that accept criticism. So in a case like that, I don't have to say anything. But if we're talking about a situation where it's actually an Isser D'Oraisa, that's Mefurish B'Kra, so then you have to bring it to their attention. So over here, we're talking about the same thing. The Rama over here is describing a situation where the kids want to play with the ball. Okay, the Rama says it's not Muktzah. Okay, so the kids want to play outside. And there's an Eruv, it's okay. So now, what's the issue? That they're kicking it around, and maybe it's going to smooth out the dirt. But if you look in the Pasuk in Chumash, does it say anywhere that you're not allowed to kick the dirt because it's going to smooth it out? No, that's a complicated Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Rashi's understanding of a Gemara. So for that, I don't have to go and stop the children who are playing in the yard. I don't have to say, oh, you're doing wrong, Chilul Shabbos, and start throwing stones at them. That's not necessary. That's where we say, Mutav Shiyishogigin Ve'al Yehu Mezidim. So now let us continue by looking at the Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa, who discusses how does this relate to ping pong. So ping pong is an interesting issue. Many times you have people go to a hotel for Shabbos and they have a game room. And in the game room they have all kinds of fun things to do, and one of those activities is ping pong. So the question is, what do we do with ping pong? Is that considered to be a extension of the Isser of Mukta, or maybe the same way a ball is Mutter, maybe ping pong should be the same. So he writes over here in the Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa, Misachke Kadur, Agabi Ashulchan Oba Avir. Those who play ping pong on a table, I don't know what air ping pong is. What is that? Oh, I'm sorry, 111. I'm sorry. Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa is Perek Tes Zayin. And there, the Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa writes, page 31, Misachke Kadur. If you have somebody who's playing ball, agabi hashulchan, what is that? Ping pong, kigon, tennis shulchan, ping pong. Right? So the Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa spells it out for us. He says, a guy's playing ping pong. Ein lesser. He writes, there's no reason why it shouldn't be allowed. Bein betoch habayis, bein michutz labayis, whether I'm playing inside of my house or outside, as long as there's an eruv. Misachke kadur al adama o al hadeshe, but if I'm going to play ball on the grass or on the dirt floor, kigon kadur rega, which is soccer, in a case like that, he says, that would not be permissible. Why? Afilo al mishtach merutzav. And then he extends it and he says, you're not even allowed to play soccer on a blacktop. Why not? Why can't I play it on the driveway? He says, because once you're going to play outside, then they're going to have another five players are going to come along and they're going to see there's no room, so they're going to move it to the side of the house. Then they're going to play on the grass, and they're going to end up ripping up the dirt. So he says, that is a consideration that you have to think about. So for kids to play ball, he says, not a problem of muktzah, it's not an issue. But when we're talking about the issue of the grass, that's something that we need to be aware of, and it's something we need to think about. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach here writes a tremendous chiddush in the footnote, and he says, again, it's a whopper of a chiddush that you don't see in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Writes the Rab Nevensal, quoting in the name of Rab Shlomo Zalman, Shahol umiyutzarim kikelim maisi uman gam lesvardim eno muktzah. Rab Shlomo Zalman goes off to make a tremendous assumption, and that is, even though when you read the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Mem Hey, it says that a ball is muktzah on Shabbos, writes Rab Shlomo Zalman, that's when they used to have a piece of junk as a ball. But now that we have a fancy basketball, a fancy soccer ball that you go to the special store to buy and it costs a lot of money, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that is miyuchad, that is set aside for the kids to play with. That's not a piece of junk that's in my house that they decide to play with. That is set aside for that. And therefore, he says, the whole nature of the discussion changes. Even the Mechaber himself would never have said that playing ball is asur on Shabbos. It's not ketanim. He can't imagine that an adult would waste his time on Shabbos playing ball. Hey, come on. He's not learning. I don't know. I don't know why he writes it that way. But that's the way he says it. So anyway, this is something that caught the attention of Rabbi Avad Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak. Whoa, excuse me, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, you're an Ashkenazi. You don't know how to read a Mechaber. The Mechaber never gave in. He never changed his mind. You decided that he changed. That's not true. So you look at the Yalkut Yosef and he says, this is not true at all. And he says, the halacha stands the way it always was, and that is, Svardim, do not allow ball playing on Shabbos because the Mechaber says that a ball is considered to be muktzah. Now we have fancy balls that are made a professional way, and you go to a special store to buy, what does that change anything? It doesn't make a difference. So that is a very important machlokas, a very interesting discussion that relates to this issue of playing ball on Shabbos. I thought it was fascinating to look. If you look here, the Maritatz. Maritatz was one of the great Gedolim in the 1500s. He was a Talmud of the Beis Yosef. He had a smicha from one of the contemporaries of the Beis Yosef, the Alshech, and he became the Rosh Hashiva and Svat. There were many, many different Talmidim of the Beis Yosef who lived around the area of Tzvat and all of the surrounding areas. So the Maharitatz was one of the very prominent Talmidim who wrote his own tshuva. So here, look at this. I found this fascinating how he writes about it. He describes, can you believe it? There was a group of people who came into town and they started playing ball. And he discusses the whole issue. It's fascinating. Let's see what he says. Ir gedola shel chachamim shel sofrim. There was a town, I'm on the sheet that I sent out. So there was a town where there were many great people, and they never played ball, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. There was once a group that came to play there during the weekday, and right away the community got rid of them. And now, what do you know? We're being influenced by the outside influences, and now you have young Jewish kids in the town who are playing ball on Shabbos. Again, this is the 1500s, not today. And now they're betting on it, and they're giving money to each other on this. And then they start paying off who won, who lost, and they pay off the bets. And now they're playing ball, so they say, I can't wear a yarmulke. It's going to start falling off. So now they don't wear a yarmulke either. Then they don't wear the tzitzis. And they promise, they swear to each other. One thing's leading to the other. It's fascinating. You go to a basketball game today, it's mamish exactly what he's describing 1,500, 500 years ago. It's amazing. So the kids are all cursing at each other, and then they don't wear a yarmulke, they don't wear tzitzis, and then they're betting, and everyone, it's exactly what he was describing. It's amazing. But it was new then. That's why I thought it was fascinating. And he says, one thing leads to the next, to Vashem, the alfei alafim, v'lidei kas. Then they get, right, what happens at a basketball game when somebody mistakenly elbows the other teammate, but it wasn't really a mistake. Then they get into a whole brawl, a whole fist fight, and everyone's on the floor, everyone's fighting with each other. So now they're angry. Kemat noklin shem Hashem. V'achar klos haschok, after they're finished with the game, ochlim v'shosim b'martiv goyim. Then they all go to these places to get a drink. V'konim peros, and they go and they eat all kinds of things. Almanas l'parim l'machros ha-shabbos v'akol nechal v'li rechitzis yadayim v'li bracha. How many times do you see people in the middle of the game, they go off to the side, they take a drink, they don't make a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona. U'ke'elu ha-veres nimshachem y'avan ha-niskar. It all started with just one simple act that the kids wanted to play ball. But look what happens. And this was like, the Maritat says, I've never seen such a thing. This just started happening in our town, and I don't know what to do. So he's, as the rub of the town, he's very stuck. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do. So then he writes, there were those who say that the Rama writes over here that it's not muktzah. The Mechaber says it is muktzah. But in the end of the day, look what it's causing. Forget muktzah. Look what's happening. So if you're interested in all this, he gets into the whole issue. Look at the further paragraph after that. He says, if it was up to me, I would get all this chevra out of town. I wouldn't allow any of this in town. Ki chas v'shalom gormim churban la'ir. Now, what does it mean, gormim churban la'ir? Why is it destroying the city? So obviously, he's saying that it's destroying because of all this. But then he adds, ki ahidi Yerushalmi demaisi tur Shimon. What's the story of Tur Shimon? So there's a Yerushalmi, very cryptic Yerushalmi, that says a story about a city by the name of Tur Shimon. And in that city, everything was going very well. The city was really on a roll. Things were moving along smoothly. And all of a sudden, the city was destroyed. And the Yerushalmi asks, Lama Charva? Why was it destroyed? So there are two reasons why. Reason number one, the Yerushalmi says, because one time there was some unusual activity of promiscuity that went on, and because of that, the whole city was destroyed. Answer number two, says the Gemara, is because in that city, they all played ball on Shabbos. Wow. So the whole city's destroyed because they played ball on Shabbos? Says the Maritatz, obviously this is a problem. Look what happens when you play ball on Shabbos. And therefore he says, playing ball on Shabbos is something that he's very uncomfortable with. And he says, you see from the Yerushalmi, This is something we need to take seriously. And then he says, Efshar afila b'chol. He says, maybe during the week also, with all the considerations that I just mentioned, there's something that we need to think about for playing ball during the week as well. Again, I'm not advocating that we shouldn't play ball. I'm just saying I find it interesting that when you look back in the 1500s, when the Gedolei Acharonim, the Talmidim of the Beis Yosef, are talking about this new phenomenon that came to their town, it's something that caught their attention and something that seems to still be catching our attention today. Now, we get to a very controversial story in the 1900s about a bicycle. What's the story with riding a bicycle on Shabbos? And this is something that is controversial only because it's not clear, did someone say something and then retract what he said, or did he stick with his original opinion? So if you look here, the Ben Ish Chai has a tshuva in his sefer called the Rav Pa'alim. And in that sefer he writes that in his opinion, riding a bicycle on Shabbos is permissible because there's no issue of Uvdin L'chol. What does that have to do with Uvdin L'chol? The same way I walk to shul on a Monday, I'm allowed to walk to shul on Shabbos. So if I bike to shul on Monday, why can't I bike to shul on Shabbos? What's the problem? What's the difference? So the Ben Ish Chai was of the opinion, nothing wrong at all. Again, the Ben Ish Chai passed away in 1909, so he's the early 1900s, and he says there's a new thing, new phenomenon, and he says he doesn't think it's a problem at all. And this is very interesting when he describes what a bicycle is. First paragraph, he says, you have something that has two wheels, but he says it moves without animals pushing it and without people pushing it. It moves because the wheels turn. Fascinating. So he says, this is a new invention. It's very interesting. And he wants to know whether or not that is permissible on Shabbos. And he says he doesn't see the problem. There's no malacha involved. There's no problem. Obviously, you can't go chutz l'tchum. But outside of that, what's the problem? I would be allowed to do this the same way I would be allowed to do it during the week. No issue at all. Now, the reason why it's controversial is because there was a sefer called Simchas Kohen, which was written by a Svardish Gadol in Baghdad or something like that, who was a Talmud of the Ben Ish Chai, and he claims that he heard from this Talmud of the Ben Ish Chai that the Ben Ish Chai retracted his psak. So that's always a problem. What do you do when there's a shmua out there that somebody retracts their psak? What do you do with that? How do we deal with that? So that's a big issue. Rav Asher Weiss, I've spoken to him about many different things that you see in Rav Moshe's Tshuvas. He writes one thing, and then some very close Talmidim say, no, but he retracted. So he always told me, Zeh Klal Gadol. If Rav Moshe wrote it, and he didn't write a retraction later, then what you hear me pi hashmu is worth nothing. That's what he says. Again, there are many who would disagree. But he said Rav Moshe was a responsible posik. He knew that everybody was reading the Igros Moshe. So what do you think? You think that if he really felt that the position should be reconsidered, he wouldn't have written that? What, he wasn't humble enough? Rav Moshe was Adam Mikal Adam. So you think he wasn't humble enough to write a new tshuva and say, what I wrote there is a mistake and I reconsidered and I think it should be different? Of course he would have written that. So what is a shmua worth? A shmua is worth, and obviously there was some kind of situation where somebody asked a shaila, and there was a nuanced difference in the shaila that was asked, and they got a different answer than what Rav Moshe wrote in his original tshuva. And that's why they have a shmua that says, this is mutter, this is usur, which is against what Rav Moshe said. But if it's not in print from Rav Moshe himself, he feels that it has absolutely no halachic validity at all. And that's why this is a very, very interesting issue over here when it comes to the Sfardim and figuring out whether or not we should forbid the use of bicycles on Shabbos. I remember I spoke to Dr. Abitan about this a few times because he's a Sfardi and this is a very sensitive issue. In some Sfardish communities, they accepted the original Ben Ish Chai's psak of no problem moved in the chol. Later on, there were others who said, no, the Ben Ish Chai retracted. And in fact, in this Sefer Simchas Kohen, he says, the Ben Ish Chai is dancing in heaven that people accepted his retraction. He knows it's such Chilul Shabbos, he knows it's such a terrible thing, and he knows it's nothing that people should be doing on Shabbos, and therefore he's very happy that we're publicizing the Heter. And there were other Sfardish Rabbanim who said, to be Zion, how can you say that? If the Ben Ish Chai changed his mind, he should have written that. And from the fact he didn't write it, obviously cannot be accepted, it's not true, and we should stick with the age-old issue of what the Ben Ish Chai himself writes is permissible. What would be the issur? So that's a very interesting question. And the Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenburg has a long tshuva, a long Rav Avadia also has a tshuva. A lot of contemporary Svarim deal with the issue and try to figure out what are the potential issues. So potential issue number one is the fact that maybe, number one, maybe you'll ride outside of the tchum. Especially today, where people who ride bikes, again, I'm not a major bike rider at all, but the people who are really excited, really into it, they do ride not just up and down the street, not just from their house to the shul or from their house to their friend. They do go on long, miles long bike ride, and therefore there is a possibility that they will go chutz l'tchum. So that's issue number one that we have to be concerned about. For a person to walk chutz l'tchum, maybe I should say you're not allowed to walk on Shabbos at all, because maybe you'll walk chutz l'tchum. That's unusual. How often do I go on a walk that's miles and miles long? But how often does a real biker, again, I don't know real bikers, how far do they go? They go very far distances. What? So if a biker is used to going many, many miles, so maybe on Shabbos we have to be concerned he's going to go chutz l'tchum. That's issue number one that they are discussing when it comes to riding a bike on Shabbos. Issue number two is when it comes to uvdin d'chol. Maybe that is part of the category of uvdin d'chol, and that is just simply not within the spirit of Shabbos. Now again, as we said, how do you define uvdin d'chol? And especially if you use the Rambam's definition that we saw before, that uvdin d'chol is only something that leads normally to a malacha, so this really would not fit that. Again, not everyone agrees with the Rambam's definition, but you're going to need some work. Uvdin d'chol maybe insufficient to be the only reason why this is a problem, but that is one of the issues that is raised when it comes to riding a bike. Number three, which is another issue the Achronim discuss, and that is that maybe you have to be concerned that you will make a charitz in the ground. Again, you're not allowed to make a pathway in the ground out of dirt. So sometimes if you take a bike and you're riding very quickly on some kind of dirt path, you will end up moving aside the dirt and you will make a ditch. So it depends. Again, when you're riding a bike, you're not just pressing down the grass. You are actually making a furrow. It's not the right word. Whatever that is, you're making a line, an indentation, and it's pushing aside all the dirt. And now you're going to have a space in between. Number four, and this is a major issue, there is a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, and this is something that is really a problem. The Gemara writes in Maseches Shabbos Kuf Chaf Beis that if you have a Shida Teva Umigdal, what does that mean? A Shida Teva Umigdal means if I have a break front in my house, right? So the break front has a door on it. Am I allowed to take the doors on and off on Shabbos? So the Gemara says the truth is that there's no binyan bekelim. When we talk about the malacha of bona, it only means if I build something that's attached to the ground. So for me to take a door off of my house, that's a problem on Shabbos. Why? Because that's binyan and that's soser. That's building and taking apart. That's a malacha. But for me to take something off of my break front, technically is not a problem. Technically is not a problem. However, the Gemara says there's a gzeira midirabanan that I'm not really allowed to do that. Why? Because Chayshinan Shema Yiska means maybe as I'm taking the door off, it doesn't just pop on and off. I'm going to have to take out my screwdriver and my hammer. I'm going to have to take out some nails and some screws. And then I'm going to violate the malacha of Makah B'Patish. That's a real malacha. Or maybe I'm going to violate the malacha of, the Rambam says it's bonet. Meaning if I do something that is just not just popping something in or off, not just taking something on or off, but maybe it's going to lead me to take out my tools and to do something more than that, that would be a problem of Chayshinan Shema Yiska. And therefore the Gemara says that we have a Gzeira Midrabanan, that you're not allowed to do certain activities on Shabbos, even though technically they should be permissible. We have a concern of Shema Yiska. If it breaks, you're going to end up taking out the tools, and then you're going to violate a real malacha. So the same over here. We have to be concerned when it comes to a bicycle, that should something break, maybe a person will go, take out all the tools, and start screwing something back together. The same way the Gemara says, the reason why you're not allowed to play a guitar on Shabbos is because we're concerned maybe one of the strings is going to pop, and then I'm going to fix it up, and that's Makah B'Patish. So the same is a concern when it comes to this issue of riding bicycles. And this is something that we have to think about as well. It's a very delicate issue. I've been asked many, many times by parents. They want to know, are our kids allowed to ride scooters? So even if you don't want your children to ride a bicycle, so what about a scooter? So where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? What do you say is just a child, a kid's not allowed to use a tricycle on Shabbos? Of course they can. A little kid is just playing. So where do you draw the line between a kid playing and something that's more than that? How do you draw the line? So I remember a number of years ago when Rav Asher Weiss was here for Shabbos and he saw for the first time that kids were riding bicycles on Shabbos. He was mortified. And we got into a whole discussion at the time. He didn't say anything to them. He just let it go. But when he came to my house after, he said, Like, what's going on here? Why are kids riding bikes? We got into a whole conversation. So I said, can you just tell me, how do you draw the line? How do you figure out what's considered to be a kid playing, meaning a tricycle nobody's going to say a kid can't use, and a bicycle we say is a problem. So what about a scooter? I asked him, what about a scooter? So he said, show me a scooter. So I showed him. And my kids, you know, had scooters in the house. I said, what do you think about this? So he said, he thinks the answer is as follows. If this is something that would ever be used as a mode of transportation, that is something that's uvdin nechol. That's something that's not Shabbos thing. That's a problem. If it's never used in that context, it's just a toy. So he said, a bike for many people is a mode of transportation. There are many people who, for health or for whatever the reason is, they want to get from place A to place B, they use a bicycle. Most people don't use a scooter to go and to get themselves anywhere. They go use a scooter because it's fun, because it's just something fun to play with. So he thought that maybe that was the way to be Magdar. Again, it doesn't answer every single situation, but you know, I asked him, what about rollerblades? Again, nobody uses rollerblades anymore. Those are out of style.
Skateboards,
again, all these things, if you're not so accustomed to them, you don't really understand how people use them or they don't. So it's a very delicate issue, and it's something that you need to think about. Every community needs to really build their own standards and figure out what's considered within the spirit of Shabbos and what is not. But that's the general guideline that he gave. He said it really depends in his mind on, would I ever use this as a mode of transportation? Or is this really something that's limited to be used only for fun when somebody, a child or an adult, wants to have fun doing something? Anyway, that's the basic discussion about bicycles, about tricycles, about scooters, and about playing ball on Shabbos. All of them are very fascinatingly discussed in many of the contemporary Svarim. But when it comes to Muktza, that's what we just discussed in the Mechaber and the Rambam. Mirtz Hashem, next week we will continue.